Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for the many blessings you pour upon us each and every day. And please be with us now as we get into your word, that we can understand it and apply it in the right way. Thank you oh so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word eternal life, or words eternal life, as we turn to John chapter 10, we can see here is Jesus Christ teaching us that he is the door, and that by him is the only pathway to eternal life. No other way to eternal life but through Jesus Christ. As it reads in John chapter 10, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the potter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Clearly putting it that way, that he is the door. He is the only way. As he continues, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." All the way to the point of eternal life, that is. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf come in, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." The only, one and only true shepherd. There are many pastors that like to be called shepherds of the congregation, which is wrong. They should never lift themselves up as being a shepherd. There's only one shepherd, and that's Jesus Christ. Period. As he continues, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." One shepherd, not many shepherds. These folks that love to puff themselves up as being something holy and righteous, and a leader of a congregation, a shepherd of the congregation, love to call themselves reverend because they like to be revered. Pride and arrogance, haughtiness, and it's not going to go well for them. That is going to be the wood and the hay and the stubble. It just gets burned up. It was done for their own glory. It was done for their own profit. It was done for themselves, not for the Lord. As it continues, "Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And he has that power to give to us as well, the power to be able to have life everlasting. As it continues in verse 19, "There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. All the things that they were able to see and witness and have been taught by the prophets, but yet they couldn't see what was clearly right in front of their face. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do are in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's some awesome verses right there. Let's read that again, verse 28 and 29. It reads, And I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life given to us. Given to us, not earned by our works. No, Jesus Christ did the work. It's by a gift from Him that He gives to us. What do we need to do? Listen up. Because it says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So follow Jesus Christ, listen up to Him, and He'll give you eternal life. And that's sealed, and no one can take that away from you. Read 27 through 29 again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's about as plain and clear as could be delivered to those Jews. But did they like what they heard? No. Note what happens in verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They didn't want to hear that. They asked him right out to beginning of that, Tell us straight up, are you the Christ? He tells him straight up that him and the Father are one. Which would mean that He is the Christ, the Anointed One. And yet, what did they do? They wanted to pick up stones and stone Him. So that shows that they were not of God. They were of Satan, clear and simple. They just wanted to hear Him proclaim it. And He did, and they wanted to kill Him. Clear and simple followers of Satan, not followers of Christ. And this section here about the shepherds, there are a lot of false prophets, false teachers, and false shepherds. People that we've seen all through history that get people to follow them on the pretense that they're a godly person. But it's all about getting a congregation or a group to praise them, to lift them up as being something special, as being something holy, like the whole Catholic religion and Catholic movement with calling their leader the Holy Father, the Pope. And that's all pride and arrogance and puffed up haughtiness that these men take these positions and love to be worshipped. And it is all ungodly, plain and simple. They can call it godly all they want, but when they lift themselves up as being a shepherd, they are clearly not doing the will of the Lord. Plain and simple. Because He tells us right there that He is the good shepherd. In verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And in verse 16, one shepherd. Not many shepherds, one shepherd. One Holy Father. And that's it. Clear and simple. Alright, now turn on over to chapter 11. John chapter 11. I'm picking it up here. And what's going on here in John chapter 11 is speaking about the resurrection of Lazarus. And the Lord had been given the information that Lazarus had been stricken sick, but he delayed a couple days so that all this would unfold in this manner. And the point we want to bring out is his proclamation that he is the way to everlasting life. As we can pick it up here in the account in John chapter 11, verse 21, where the Lord is addressing Martha. When it reads, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then the question, believest thou this?" And that's the question that we all are presented. Do you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, and that by believing in him, that you will have everlasting life? That's the question. If you say, yes, you believe, then you're going to receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and he comes into you, and you're in him, that link, and you have eternal life, sealed. You will live forever. Not in this human body that we currently have? No, of course not. But you have everlasting life, eternal life, and we will be given a new glorified body, and we will be able to be like Jesus Christ, because he tells us that in his scriptures, that we will be like him. And let's read that again in verse 25. Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And she had the right response in verse 27. She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And he came into the world, and he became the ultimate sacrifice. Paid the price of all sins, of all mankind, past, present, and future. Crucified on that cross. Gave up the ghost on that cross. They buried him. Rose again the third day. Stuck around some 40 days, preaching and teaching. Ascended to the Father. Sits on the right hand of the Father. Our great high priest. The propitiation for our sins, or payment for the sins. The atonement for us. That we all that come to him, like those sheep he was speaking of earlier, we hear his voice, we recognize it, we go to him, and recognize him as our one and only true shepherd, and he gives us, in return, everlasting life, eternal life, never to die, never to be separated from the Lord, and no one can take that away from us, nothing, because once we're in the hand of the Lord, nothing can take us out of that. All right, now look at John chapter 14. Some awesome verses here concerning the Lord's going to come back to receive us, to be with him. Because that's where we're going to be able to enjoy this eternal life, is to be with Jesus Christ for eternity. And as he tells us here in John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And that is truly awesome, that he is going to come back and get us. Now, some might be some scoffers and saying, "Well, where's he at? Why hadn't he come back? It's been some 2,000 years. As it says over in the writings of Peter, he's long-suffering. He's waiting. He's patiently waiting for more to come to know him, to receive him, before it's everlasting too late, before the judgments, before they wind up cast into the lake of fire. So he's holding out for more to come to him. So we should be patiently awaiting as well for more to come in and be busy at the work he gives us the opportunity to be a part of so that more can come in and be looking forward to eternal life. As he says there in verse 4, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Like where he's going, we know. He's going to the Heavenly Father. And the way we know it, because we know Jesus Christ. Because we have made the decision to receive and accept and believe in Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and receive the Holy Ghost into us. He gives us the enlightenment. He gives us the understanding of the truth, because he is the Spirit of truth. And he gives us the comfort of knowing that the Father will fulfill all of his promises. And one of those promises he has given us is eternal life. And by trusting in Jesus Christ, we can be assured of that. So we do know the way. But note Thomas that was with him in verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Note, once again, the only pathway to the Heavenly Father is by way of Jesus Christ. None other. None of this stupid coexist junk that they're trying to get people to believe that all paths lead to God. No. Only one pathway to God the Father, and that is by way of Jesus Christ. Only one pathway to eternal life, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. Period. You're either with him or you're against him. No other way. Simple as that. Other religions out there, there are some of those religions out there that have a good moral code, that have some good works and some fairly good standards. Some of them, of course, are plumb crazy and evil, but others do have some what you would consider good attributes. But they're worthless if they're not based on Jesus Christ. They are the wood and hay and the stubble. They're just going to be burned up. It was done for the wrong intention. It was done for the wrong thing. It was done for the wrong religion. So don't get hung up in all that other false stuff that's out there. Because there's, as you said, a lot of false shepherds, a lot of hirelings out there. In it for the money, in it for their own profit, in it for their own glory. Not to bring honor and glory to the true and heavenly Father. All right, now look over at John chapter 17. And we see here that the power to give eternal life is given to and comes through and by way of Jesus Christ from the Heavenly Father. As it reads in John chapter 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given me power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Talking about how Jesus Christ can give someone eternal life. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. This was spoken, this prayer was lifted up shortly before his crucifixion. And he's speaking of here is the things that he is about to do and has accomplished. And now we look back to and commemorate and honor the finished work of Jesus Christ, what he has done to provide us the opportunity of eternal life. Sin has to be paid for. And Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for all sin of all mankind. Even the ones that won't ever come to him and ask for forgiveness, he paid the price for those sins as well. That's why it was such a horrible thing to have to take on. As he continues here, we see in verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Note here a little clue about how the Lord had to lay down some of his glory, some of his authority even, some of his power, some of his majesty, in order to humble himself to the point of being able to be born into the flesh. But as we are given in Matthew chapter 28, how he says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, a statement that he made after his resurrection. So he received all of that power and all that glory back once he completed the assignment of taking on all the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. And in that, we have the opportunity, and what is it called? The Great Commission, as it continues in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Gives us an opportunity to be a part of his work, and that is so awesome. The opportunity to be able to share the message, to share the gospel, to share the opportunity to be able to have eternal life. All right, let's get back into John chapter 17. Let's pick it up here in verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. He's talking about the disciples, and mostly speaking of the apostles. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Praying that they be sealed, praying that they be protected. They are in the hands of the Holy Father. And this is the only one that you should ever address as Holy Father, and that is our true Heavenly Father, our truly Holy Father, the one, the only. Nobody else on this planet. If you do, it's just flat out blasphemy. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Speaking of Judas Iscariot, he was never one of them to begin with. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, and sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. This verse here is a key verse, that this prayer of sealing, this prayer of acknowledgement of being a part of the work of Jesus Christ, being a part of the group, being a part of the family, didn't just go to those disciples that were right there, didn't just go to those apostles, but goes to anyone that will believe in Jesus Christ. as he says here again, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. What we deliver as Christians to others out there, the testimony that we have, the preaching and the teaching and the sharing of the gospel that we all have the opportunity to do, that is very important. And we need to continue to do that because he gave us that great commission. As it continues, verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, and they that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. This unity is a very important factor he's bringing out here. When you have a true group of believers that truly believe in Jesus Christ and are part of the family, there is a unity there that isn't broken. He says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This is one of the key points I'm going to bring out here, that in this prayer he's acknowledging and reemphasizing here again that we will be able to be with Jesus Christ. That's part of eternal life, to be able to be with Jesus Christ for eternity. Read 24 again. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And that is so awesome that Jesus Christ actually comes into us to dwell in us forever, permanently dwelling in us. So we need to acknowledge and understand that he says in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? The words of Jesus Christ. Do you truly believe in Jesus Christ? If you do truly believe in Jesus Christ, then you have eternal life. And you will be glorified with him and be with him for eternity, because as he said again, he has gone to prepare a place, and if he's prepared a place, he's going to come back and get us to be with him. As it says in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Eternal life with Jesus Christ. That is so awesome. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It's amazing how much is in here that can really lift us up and get us motivated and get us excited to go out and share it with somebody else. And please motivate all of us to do that very thing so that more can be looking forward to eternal life with you. So we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you.